Scriptures, one creed, and one book versus my church's creed. One creed, one book versus my church's creed. When we speak of one book, we mean the Bible. One creed is the Lord's creed. The word creed means a brief statement of religious belief. Confession of faith. Number two, a specific statement of this kind accepted as authority by a church. Number three, a statement of belief, principles, or opinions on any subject. Notice, a specific statement accepted as authority by a church. All creeds are accepted as being authority if that creed is peculiar to the church that one might happen to belong to. No creed is acceptable as being authority if the creed of some church or other than my church, which is the way most denominational folks refer to the church that they hold membership in. The Lord's church, Christians do not have a church. The Lord Jesus Christ has a church. He is the creed for His church, and His creed is found in that book that we call the Bible. No denominational creed, listen, no denominational creed is found in the Bible. The reason being, the creed for the Church of Christ was conceived in the mind of God, while denominational creeds were conceived in the minds of men. It's going to be our task for the rest of our lesson to show from the Bible the difference between the Lord's creed and all others. It ought to be our deepest desire to know God and His creed and how to tell the difference between them and all others. Since all denominational people claim to believe the Bible, that's going to be our sole reference material for our lesson. There's one exception. That will be when we refer to some denominational creed for the purpose of showing that Christ's creed is authorized by God. Human creeds are not. Christ affirmed in Matthew the 28th chapter and verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Now, if Christ has all authority, that does not leave any for anyone else. There is not one denominational creed that exists by Christ's authority. Not one. Now, if you tell some folks that might upset them. Nevertheless, it's just a fact. There is not one single denominational creed that exists with God's authority. If a person really believes the Bible, just one verse ought to forever put to rest what truth is. Christ said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." In matters pertaining to religion, God's word is truth. Man's is not. Peter lets us know in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, no prophecy of Scripture of any private interpretation or origin. Why? Because, verse 21, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, the prophets and the apostles claimed that what they spoke came from God. Christ told His apostles in Matthew the 10th chapter, verses 19 and 20, when they were before authorities for the preaching of the cross, "Do not worry about how or what you shall speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Who was going to do the speaking? God the Holy Spirit. In John the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters, Christ told his apostles that after he had returned to his Father in heaven, he would send the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to them. And when he came, when the Spirit came, he would guide them into all truth and bring to remembrance all of the things that he had taught them. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles or the words of God. No person claiming to speak for God is authorized to speak anything other than the oracles of divine announcements of God. Now we're going to look at a straight line, and we're going to have to move along. We've got a lot of scripture. This straight line runs from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the Revelation. Genesis 3:15 is the first promise in the Bible of a coming Savior. In Daniel 2 and verse 44, and in these days of those kings, four of them have been named in the context, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Now, as we go through our lesson, kingdom and church are often in the New Testament used interchangeably. In Matthew the 16th chapter, we'll look at a few verses there. Open your Bible there. Matthew chapter 16. Let's start with the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the regions of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of God, am? So they said, some John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But the Lord says to them, who do you say that I am? It was then, verse 16, that Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In Acts 2, the confession that Peter made is the rock. Upon this rock that you are the Son of God. That's the confession that Peter made. Christ said, on that rock, I am the Son of God. I am going to build my church, and the gates of Hades or death shall not prevail against it. In Acts the 2nd chapter, the apostles preached the first gospel sermon that the world was ever privileged to hear. In verse 41 reads, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all of the people, and the Lord added to the church, his church, one church that he built, daily those that were being saved. Now there are a number of conversions in the book of Acts. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other. No salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The 5th chapter, the 14th verse, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. One time 300 responded, another time there was 500, and another time there were multitudes of both men and women. You can read that in Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. When persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, Acts 8 and verse 1 says they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. chapter 5 and verse 4. Therefore those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And so you have congregations of the Lord's church beginning to show up in various parts of the then known world. Romans 1 and verse 4. Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Sixth verse. Among whom you also were called of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, the eighth part of the eighth verse of Romans chapter 8. Romans 16 and verse 26. But now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. Now by the time you get through little ways into the New Testament, the gospel had gone from Jerusalem throughout the then known world. Paul affirms in Colossians 1 that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. Now that doesn't mean that every single individual had heard it, but certainly it was available to anyone who would listen to it. Romans 26 continues, to God alone, wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 15. Then comes the end when he, that is Christ, delivers a kingdom of his church, that would be the one that he said that he was going to build, to God the Father, when he, Christ, puts an end to all rule, all authority, and power. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. His church. Who's the head? Christ is. And he is the Savior of the body. What is the body? It's his church. The one that he's saved. Now, the person that doesn't want to accept that verse of Scripture is going to have to find themselves another Savior. But Christ is a Savior of his body, his church. And so, if you're not a member of his church and a faithful member, I don't mean somebody that just wears the name, I mean a faithful member of the Church of Christ, then you don't have a seat. You're going to have to find somebody different than Christ because he's going to save his body, his church. Philippians 4 and verse 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Our God, our Father. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear of his son of his love. Which kingdom? Again, kingdom and church are used interchangeably. No, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. What does it mean, power of darkness? It's going to mean anything. You remember, the Bible is God's light. John says those that walk in the light. What is the light? It's God's Word. God's Word, his light, opposes everything else. If you've never obeyed the gospel, and if you're not being faithful, you are literally in darkness, religiously speaking. The faithful are in the light. Now, how do you get out of the darkness into the light? Notice he said he conveyed us, he delivered us from the power of darkness. Into his marvelous light. What is the light? In that verse, the Son of his love. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Who is he? That's Christ. Who says that? God does. Verse 18. He who? Christ is the head of the body. The church. One body, one church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 17th verse. Then they that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. There is no evidence whatsoever that Christ will ever touch this earth again. This meeting takes place in the air. After all, this world was not very good to him when he was here the first time. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound doctrine which you heard from me in faith, which are in Christ Jesus. Paul said, you heard from me a doctrine. This was a sound doctrine. Timothy, you hold fast to that. Doctrine, of course, means teaching. What did Paul teach? What did Timothy lay hold of? Oh, if you've obeyed the gospel, hold on. Hold on to those words of sound faith. Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. From time to time, human beings make promises. And when we make the promise, we fully intend to keep it. But due to circumstance, when the promise becomes due, we're not able to keep it for whatever the reason. But God is not limited, and God cannot lie. Now, you've probably heard people say God can do anything. Well, he almost can, but he cannot lie. That's one thing he cannot do. But if he makes a promise, and he has, then we shall see heaven. He made that promise. And there we shall always be with the Lord. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. We want to start reading, I think it's about verse 6. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since it's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those that trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that do not know God, and on those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are we looking at? We're looking at the day of judgment. We're looking at two classes of people. Those that have obeyed the gospel and those that have not. Now God is going to take judgment on one of those classes of people. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I don't know. It doesn't seem reasonable to me that if a person knew those kinds of verses were in the Bible, that they wouldn't want to do something about their eternal welfare. If I do not obey the gospel, and if I'm not faithful until my death, I don't have much to look forward to. It's all negative. But oh, for the faithful child of God. We'll look at that in just a moment. When he comes in that day, what day? Day of judgment. To be glorified in his saints. To be admired among all of those that believe. Who's that? Faithful Christian. because our testimony among you was believed. We preached, you accepted it, you believed it, and you acted upon it. Therefore, we also pray for you that our God counts you worthy of this calling. Fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, the work of faith with power. I want to ask you a question. Suppose that you were God. You're up in heaven. You're looking down on your creation. And you loved mankind so much that you sent your Son, your only Son, to die in their stead so that they wouldn't have to. And yet from your vantage point, you don't see very many people. There's some, I don't know, 7 billion, 8 billion people in the world. Very small percentage of those people are faithful Christians. My Son, I gave Him to die for all of you. Just a small portion. How would you feel? Would you be sorry that you created man? What did you create him for in the first place? You created him in order that he might have fellowship with you, give you glory. Anything and everything besides that's what's happened. How would it make you feel? Oh, there's no way to account for the mercy of God. Our God would count you worthy of this calling. Fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may be glorified in you and in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if, that little word if, oh, that makes all the difference in so many ways, so many times. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, turn your Bibles over to Revelation, the 21st chapter. We want to look at verses 4 through 7. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now all of those things, tears, crying, pain, all of those are experienced by all of us from time to time in this life. But when we get to heaven, there won't be any of that. No tear will ever stain a Christian's life again. There's no death, physical death. There's not going to be any spiritual death for those that are in heaven. No more pain. Some people live with pain in this world all the time. Won't be any of that when we get to heaven. Why? Because they're all gone. They've all passed away. Then he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. What's he going to write? True and faithful words. Where does truth come from? And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, I am the beginning and I am the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him that thirsts. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, go across the page in my Bible, over to chapter 22. Look at verses 6 and 7. Then he said to me, "These things are faithful and true. The Lord and the holy prophet sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly come to pass. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Drop down to verse 12. "Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." Every single one of us is going to be responsible, we are now, for the things that we say and the things that we do. Sometimes we want to blame those things on somebody else. "If he hadn't done so and so, if she hadn't said so and so, blah, 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 blah." When something comes out of your mouth, it's because you have thought of it. Someone will say something. "Oh, I didn't think." No, you didn't. Not very long, but you did think, or else you wouldn't have said it. We're all responsible for self. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last." Blessed, verse 14. "Blessed are those that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life, enter in through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexual immoral, murderers, idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bride and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears come. Let him who thirsts come. Whosoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Listen now. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the book prophecy of this, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the whole city, from the things which are written in the book." I don't know where the denominational people know those verses are there or not. If they do, they certainly don't believe them, because every one of them has added to, or they've taken from, God's Word. What is the end result for that verse? It surely won't be salvation. "He who testifies of these says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." You start to study the grace of God. Oh, that's a fabulous study. And you'll not get through it in half an hour. If anyone ever comes to you and tells you that there is a church in the New Testament other than the Lord's church. And I don't know if you've had people tell you that or not, but I have. You challenge them. I want to see book, chapter, and verse. It's not there. Absolutely not there. There used to be a young man where I preached, and I almost wished that he wouldn't show up for Bible study. The reason being, he was constantly asking questions or making statements that he had absolutely no Bible authority whatsoever for. This one day he spoke up and he said, there are other churches in the Bible besides the Church of Christ. And he said, well, he said, there's a church in the wilderness. There's a church of God. There's a church of the brethren. There's a church of the Galatians, the Thessalonians. I told him, I said, those are simply references to the one church. The church in Galatians, the churches in Corinth, Thessalonians, those are the Lord's church. These things that he brought up, those are not proper names. They are simply designations. They designate the Lord's church. Any person that ever tells you there's more than one church in the New Testament, challenge them. I want to see where that's at. They'll not find a place. Now back to that straight line. There are two verses, and the lesson will be yours. Now we could have put these two verses in our straight line anywhere, but I saved them to end the lesson with. Now we have just hit the high spots on this straight line. Everyone understands that if you're going to study the straight line from Genesis to Revelation, that's a lifetime study. We just barely have hit a few, not even many, of the highlights along that line. But Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone. It's one thing to wear the Lord's name. It's another thing to say, Lord, Lord. But it's quite another to do the will of God in heaven. Who has control of your eternal destiny? There are only two eternal abiding places, either heaven or hell. You and I determine which one we want to go to. If I'm interested in my soul, then I'm going to make every effort that I can possibly make to find out what I need to do, how I need to learn to live in order to be pleasing to God, because I want to go to heaven. And if I'm not pleasing to God, I won't. You remember Luke 16? Rich man and Lazarus. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I forget the verse, but it says that the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, what a hard life he had. But when it was over, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom or paradise. The rich man died. He went to a different place. He's talking to Abraham and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. He wanted Lazarus to bring him some water. He just said, just the tip, whatever falls off of his finger. Now, if you were real thirsty, and I dip my hand in the water, my finger in the water, and I put that on your tongue, would that help you very much? Evidently, he thought it'd help him some, because that's what he asked Abraham for. What did Abraham tell him? There was a great gulf between you and Lazarus. You can't go to him, and he can't come to you. What are you looking at? Eternal separation. Heaven and hell. We're all going to die. And we're all going to face one of those two possibilities. You ever think about Lazarus? Oh, what a hard life he had. Would it be difficult to live on a daily basis like he had to live and still be faithful to God? all the medication that he had for those sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet was when the dog would come along and lick them. He begged for alms. But he stayed faithful. Angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Never again will he have any problems. That rich man, he's just beginning his problem. It wasn't until he found himself in hell that he decided he wanted to be a soul winner. You remember he told Abraham, I have five brothers. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to preach to them. And what did Abraham tell him? He said, they've got the prophets. They've got the scriptures. If they won't hear and obey those, neither would they believe if someone rose from the dead. You remember Christ's crucifixion? They're all standing around taunting him. Some of them said, if he is the Christ, let him come down off of that cross and we'll believe it. Would they have? No. They had all of the evidence that they possibly needed. That rich man did too while he lived. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Then will say the king of those on his right hand. You remember in the context, there's two lines, one on the left and one on the right. The one on the left, that's the sheep line. No, I'm sorry. No. That's the goat line. The sheep line is on the right. We don't want to get on the left. We don't want to be in that goat line. We want to be on the right. We want to be on the sheep. What's he going to say to those on the right hand? Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There is no church in the New Testament other than the Lord's church. And it is only in the Lord's church that salvation is available. Don't ever let anybody try to tell you different. And that's our lesson for this time. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, and it is His invitation, it's not ours.